Judges chapter 6, and just a few, I do want to go back over the announcements. If you're a guest with us, please fill out this inside flap that's there in your bulletin. Take it back to the resource table to Betty Welty back there, and we have a free gift for you. And it's hard to believe that we're going from 2018 to 2019 this next week, and I just want to make mention that we're not having Victory Youth this Wednesday night because the kids don't go back to school until Thursday. So the following week on January the 9th is when we'll be starting back our youth ministry, and it's for 6th through 12th grades, and starts at 6 p.m. It'll be over by 7:30. And then on the back of the bulletin, you can take notes for today's message, and you can just write down 1, 2, and 3, because I've got 3 points I'm going to share with you today. But one of the things that's not in your bulletin that we're planning, and the reason why it's not in your bulletin is because we don't have a date quite set yet. But, and it's really something I'd like to start doing every year, is in January, and I'm planning on, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, so the second Sunday in January, I always try to bring what I believe is a word for the new year, and so I'll be bringing that. But I've asked Pastor Cody Anderson, a good friend of mine from Faith Center Fellowship up in Meno, Oklahoma. And I've asked them to come we're going to have like a special Sunday evening service, and I will let you know hopefully sometime in January. It may even be in February. I'm trying to work with their calendar as well, but we're wanting them to come with their prophetic teams, and we're going to have like a night of praise and prophetic ministry, and so it'll be really good. But we're going to have a special Sunday night to do that. We won't do it on a Sunday morning. And I know we don't typically do a Sunday night service, but everybody will show up, right? Okay, I remember that. I remember every one of you that nodded your head and said amen. Okay, so but it's going to be a good time, and I want to get the word out about it, invite people. It'll be a really good time. Okay, we're going to get into this. We're in a series, and even if you've been missing out on these series, don't worry, because they're really all standalone messages, and we've been talking about how to hear God in this, and I've been reading a book where I've been getting most of my inspiration from, you could say, is called Whisper by Mark Batterson, and I really encourage you to get that book if you don't have it and read it. It's really good. But what he talks about in this book are the 7 love languages of God, how God speaks to us today. And so there's the 7. Number 1 was Scripture. Number 2 was desires. Number 3 is doors. Number 4 is dreams. Number 5 is people. And then number 6 is what we're going to be looking at today. It's called promptings. Everybody say promptings. And then number 7 is pain. And so I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4 and Judges chapter 6. I always like to try to have you, you know, if you've brought your Bibles, I see a lot of you with your smartphones. You know, however way you get there, but, you know, I always try to get you to, that's how I learned. I remember learning the Bible. I can remember even still, and I still have to sometimes go to the table of contents, you know, find out what page it's on. That's okay to do it. I just want you to get familiar with finding these books of the Bible. But 1 John chapter 4 and Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to kind of define promptings for you. A prompting is, and this is all through the New Testament, and as I've studied for this message, and I've been walking with the Lord now, I cannot believe this, but for almost 25 years now, getting old. This is the year I turned 50, by the way. This is going to be the year of Jubilee, in Jesus' name is what I'm declaring it. But and I know that makes my dad feel old up here on the front row. But promptings, and when I've looked at promptings, and it's that, the best way I can describe it, it's the holy nudge, the nudge from the Lord, that gut feeling. Some people, you know, here in Western Oklahoma, the redneck way, we say, I just had that gut feeling. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Bolts from the blue. I like that description of it. Impressions of the Lord. And as I've studied the New Testament, I still believe that God, if he wants to, he can come speak to you audibly. He can still do that today. He's God. But when we feel these promptings from the Word of God in the New Testament, and I'm not going to go to all those scriptures, but I encourage you to read the New Testament and experience this yourself. Go to the book of Acts. In fact, I'll tell you one story that you can see it, both of them in the same story, is in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. If you want to write that down, it's when the evangelist Philip went to the guy that was riding in the chariot and told him about, you know, what he was reading in the scripture, because he didn't understand the scripture that he was reading in Isaiah. You can read that in Acts chapter 8. But there was two things in there that prompted him to go meet this guy that was riding in the chariot. And it says that the angel, the angel instructed him to do that, and then the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that promptings for us today as Christians walking this earth, walking with the Lord, is that we get promptings from angels and from the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what the New Testament says. And we need to, some of us don't pick up on those promptings because we're just tuned into what we want and what we're doing and all that. And so you've got to, you know, be listening and have your ear tuned into that frequency. And so I'm hoping that these messages are helping you to do that. But one of the things I get asked a lot as a pastor, probably the number one question I've always got asked over the years that I've been a pastor, is how do I hear from God? And so that's why we've been in this series. The next question that goes right with it is, how do I know it's from God? Because a lot of times we can get promptings that are not from God. So you have to test everything. And so I want to show you this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And this is the Apostle John talking to the church. And he says, so he's talking to us, and he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so you've got to test everything according to Scripture and everything. And so I put down there three areas that, how, you know, we can feel these promptings in. We can feel promptings in our flesh. And flesh has to do with thoughts, our desires, our pride, and our ego. Sometimes our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and sometimes our desires are not God's desires. Anybody ever been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the cap? You know, we think we're hearing from God, but it's really our own thoughts, our own desires, our own pride, and our own ego that's speaking to us. And then the other thing, the other person that speaks to us is the devil. Even as Christians, if we're not submitted to the Word of God, having a prayer life, you know, the enemy can speak to you. And you've got to know what his voice is. And then the third, and what we're talking about today, is God. And kind of what we're going to look at today is in the story of Gideon. And I know some of you here know the story. Some of you may have read it before and kind of forgot some of the key points in his story. But I want you to, and you can write this down to go read this later, but read Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7. But I'm just going to highlight some of the scriptures in here in Judges. God had spoken to Gideon that he was going to free the Israelites from the Midianites. And he was like, God, you got the wrong guy. Kind of this, you know, Gideon was what I call a hesitant hero. And he just wasn't for sure. He was getting these promptings from God, even in the Old Testament, and he just wasn't for sure that he was really hearing from God. And he kept asking God, "Am I hearing you right? Am I hearing you right? Am I hearing you right?" And I want to tell you this morning, it is okay to make sure you're hearing from God. Take your time. That's that test, to wait upon God to make sure it's not you, you're not hearing from the enemy, but you're really hearing from God. Because sometimes the enemy can come and make it sound really like God. I mean, he did it with Jesus. He tempted Jesus with the word in the wilderness. Remember that? He tempted Jesus with the word. I'm like, good grief. You're tempting him with the word, and you're talking to the word. It's like having a spitting contest with Jesus, and Jesus is like, no, this is what the word really says. So you've got to know the word, and we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. So I'm going to pick up on this story in Judges chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" Because Gideon was having all these questions for God. He just didn't know that God was speaking to him. And God, can I really do it? If you're not with me, I don't want to do it. Then verse 17, it says, "Then he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight,'" this is Gideon speaking, "'then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from me, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will wait until you come back.'" Now, this is a good thing about God. God, he enjoys waiting so that, and that you're waiting to hear from him. God will wait on you. Look at somebody and say, amen, God's waiting on me. Okay? God will wait on you. He's okay with that. Verse 19 says, so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat. And I want you to realize, because we think in our time, in our day and age, you know, just think that, okay, Gideon went in the house and microwaved a goat. He didn't do that, okay? This took hours to get this, to prepare this offering for the Lord. And so the Lord is still waiting on him. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree. The Lord was waiting under a tree for him and presented them. And the angel of God, and whenever you see the angel of God or the angel of the Lord, that's talking about Jesus in the Old Testament, okay? Said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Okay? Just get in this story with Gideon. If you'd have seen that and you'd been asking God, God, are you really with me? And he did that, you'd be saying, okay, he's with me. Fire's going to be coming out of my sword. You know, when I'm, you know, all right, that's all I need, God. But Gideon, and I'm saying this because even the enemy, the devil, can do stuff like this and trick people. And he's done it for years. So Gideon was very smart, and he decided that I got to test this again. So we jump down in Judges chapter 6 if you're there. I'm jumping around in it. We're going to go to verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, look, I shall put out a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece, and this is where we get the story of, you know, fleecing the Lord, the sign of the fleece, and it's okay to do this, by the way. If there is dew on the fleece only and is dry on all the ground, then I shall know what you will say, that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. And it was so. And when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. You'd think, okay, God did that. I believe in him now. He's fire came out of his staff, and now that happened. But in verse 39, it says, then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry, only on the fleece, but on the ground let there be dew. And you know, and you feel like you're going to read, and God said, you idiot, I am going to choose somebody else. But that's not what happens. Verse 40, it says, and God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. And I've heard it taught for a year, well, you know, Gideon, I've heard this taught, well, Gideon didn't have any faith. No, Gideon wanted to make sure he was hearing from God before he made this step of faith. And it was okay. God didn't get mad at him. Look at somebody and say, God didn't get mad at him. And that is good news. If you go on reading, and I'm just going to paraphrase the rest of it. I encourage you to read Judges 6 and Judges chapter 7. But if you go on reading in Judges chapter 7, God's telling Gideon to get his army together. So Gideon does, and 32,000 guys show up for Gideon to be in his army, and Gideon's like, yes, 32,000, we are going to kick some Midianite butt. And then God said, you need to tell them, whoever's afraid and scared, they can go home. And so he said, hey, guys, of course, I don't know how he spoke to 32,000 guys at one time, but God let him do it. 32,000 guys, and he said, guys, if any of you are scared and afraid, you can go home. 22,000 guys left. 22,000 guys says, we're going home. We love you guys. We'll be praying for you, but we're going home. And so he's cut down to 10,000. So even God then said, there's still too many, because you're going to, if I don't do this, Gideon, then you're going to think you did it and your guys did it and you're going to get all the glory, but I'm going to get all the glory for this. We're going to cut this army down again. And Gideon was like, okay, how are we going to do that? I've only got 10,000. He said, well, tell them to go down to the river and take a drink. I'm paraphrasing all this. You need to read this in the Bible. It's a really cool story. And he said, the guys that you see lapping up the water like a dog, I want you to put them over to the side. And so, and I'm sure, just need to read this story, it's funny. Because I'm getting in Gideon's mindset, and I'm like, Gideon's probably thinking, 3,000 guys, or of the 10,000 guys, I got to watch the ones that are lapping up the water like a dog, and I need to set them to the side, because those are the guys that are crazy. Because they're, you know how a dog drinks water, right? Okay, they're down there drinking water like that. Those are the crazy ones. I don't want to be in an army with crazy guys. So he sets them aside. There ended up being 300 of them. And so I'm sure Gideon was like, okay, here's the 9,700. These guys are my army. These 300 crazy guys can go home. And God said, no, that's your army, the 300 crazy ones. That's your army. He said, I'm going to take you and those 300 guys, and you're going to defeat all the Midianites. And Gideon was like, God, you are cray-cray. You are crazy that this is going to happen. And I'm sure that Gideon was still, even though God, this, what we just read in Judges chapter 6, even though the fleece, the signs of the fleece, the two different things, even though the offering that he presented and God stuck out his staff, fire consumed the offering, he had all that confirmation of what was going on, all this prompting that was going on in him that you're the guy that I've chosen to do this for me. And even during this process of cutting down his army to 300, Gideon is still like, God, I don't know if you're really with me or not. This is crazy. And so God knew that, and God said, hey, I want you to go down to the Midianite camp, and I want to encourage you. Got a word that's going to encourage you. So it says that Gideon and his servant went down to the Midianite camp. I don't know how they did it. It doesn't really say that. I don't know if he was hiding behind a tree or whatever, but he went down to the Midianite camp, and he overheard one of the soldiers in the Midianite camp said, hey, I had a dream. And I had a dream last night that a loaf of bread rolled into our camp and knocked down our tent. And that bread represents Gideon and his army, and they're going to defeat us. And then that's what gave all this stuff, all this prompting, all this confirmation gave Gideon the courage to go into war against the Midianites. Isn't God good? God is very good. God never in this, when you read Judges 6 and 7, he never says, you of little faith. He never gets on to him. He never says, Gideon, what are you doing? You have no faith. He never gets mad at him. He doesn't get angry with him. God keeps confirming that I'm with you, Gideon. And so I want to give you three ways today. So there's the notes, 1, 2, and 3. Three ways to know for sure that you're hearing from God. And these will work for everyone in here. Young, old, in between. They work for everybody. Work for me, work for you. And so here's number one. Number one is his word, his principles, and his character. God's word, God's principles, and his character. And you find all that out in the word of God. You find all those things out by having a relationship with the Lord. Not religion, a relationship. And as you get into the word of God, as you start understanding his principles, as you start understanding God's nature and his character, you will find out, does it line up with the Bible? You will find out. There's a lot of things that are being done in God's name that's not in God's word, it's not God's principles, and it's not God's character. Can anybody say amen? So that's why you've got to know, and especially in these last days, you've got to know his word, his principles, and his character. And we're going to look at something in Scripture, and I'm going to, you know, as a pastor, because I don't want this to come across in a wrong way, because I know I'm in here and I'm looking at lots of people in here, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where Jesus talks about divorce. And I know that a lot of people that have been through divorce, you've all heard, God hates divorce, God hates divorce, God hates divorce. Here's the deal. Yes, he does, but he does not hate divorced people. Okay? It's the same thing as if God says, I hate car wrecks, because car wrecks hurt people. Divorce hurts people. That's why God doesn't like it. Does everybody understand that? Because we're going to talk about it, because many of you have been God loves divorced people. God even puts, because I know, and I'm getting off on a tangent now, so excuse me, but there's some, you know, churches that say, well, if you've been divorced, you can't be in leadership. That's hogwash. That's not even Bible. That's not God's word. That's not God's principles. That's not God's character. God hates divorce, but he loves divorced people. Amen? All right. Just wanted you to hear that from Pastor Mark before I go into this scripture. Because that's how you interpret Scripture. You got it line upon line, precept upon precept. You got to read Scripture in context. You got to understand Scripture. You got to understand what was even going on in this day. But Matthew 19, verses 3 through 8, and I'm going to explain this to you. It says, the Pharisees also came to Jesus, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, I want you to get this, have you not read? So Jesus is basically saying to him, you guys are supposed to know the Word of God and you don't know it. And he said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, talking about in Genesis, made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. Let not man separate. And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, not God's character, man's character. Everybody getting that? Because of the hardness of your hearts permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And but even that, you got to understand and really study Scripture to understand this, and I'm going to help you get a little understanding of this one. Back in the Old Testament, you'll read the Bible and you'll realize that they had more than one wife, right? And so, by the way, that's not Scripture to do that for you today, okay? I just felt that. Somebody's like, really? I just felt that pushback right there. No, uh-uh. That's not God's way, by the way. And but they would never, because, you know, can't divorce your wife, so they would, the first wife that they married, that they fell in love with, and then they found another wife, but then they would treat this wife like garbage. They back in the Old Testament, they would actually treat them like property. And they became abusive, and it was physically, verbally, mentally, and sexually, and all that. And God came on the scene. Moses said, this ain't working. Pastor Moses, God, what do I do? And he said, they can, you know, certificate of divorce, because he's supposed to be treating her like a queen, and he's not. And this gives her a way out of that garbage. And everybody said, amen. And so I love what Pastor Jimmy says. Pastor Jimmy Evans, using this scripture, says adultery, and we all know that's, you know, grounds for divorce. Abandonment, when somebody is not in the relationship. And what's the other one? Abandonment, the three A's. Authority, abandonment, and abuse. Yes, what I just said, abuse. Because, and it's what I love what Pastor Jimmy says, when a woman, and there's some churches that teach this, lady, you just got to hang in there, you know. You just got to hang in there. And they're sitting across the pastor's desk and they're black and blue. No, she needs to leave in Jesus' name. That's not marriage. That's not being treated like a queen. And so, does everybody understand that? I know I got off on teaching something totally different, but I'm just trying to show you how people have misrepresented God's word, his principles, and even his character with this subject in the Word of God. It's because they don't understand Scripture and they don't understand God's heart about it. But Moses permitted it because of the hardness of not God's hearts, but people's hearts. And it takes two. It takes two. I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and it's always two. It's never lopsided. It's always two. It takes two to make it work. And everybody said, amen. And everybody's saying, Pastor Mark, move on. No, because I think as a pastor, it's because I don't want people to, to think because, well, I got a divorce, God can't use me, God don't love me, God's mad. No, that's not God's character. Everybody understand that? Everybody with me? Okay. All right. Now, I know that was really serious, so I had to end this part of my message with something humorous, because I know that was really, that's a serious matter when you start talking about divorce in church, because half of people out in the world and half the people in the church have been through divorce, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you and God can't use you and you can't be in leadership. Amen. All right, so moving right along is, here's some other ways that, because you can take Scripture, you can isolate a Scripture and prove anything you want to prove. You really can. And the enemy's really good at doing that, and so are some people, but that's why you got to know the Word of God. And I'm going to give you some humorous things to show this to you. There, you can prove that King David had a motorcycle with Scripture. And the Scripture is, David's triumph was heard throughout the land. So you can prove that David had a motorcycle. You can also prove that Moses, by isolating scripture, that Moses played tennis. Because there's a scripture that says Moses refused to serve in the courts of Pharaoh. And here's one that I really debated on whether I should share or not. But ladies, I love you, and God bless you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. But this is where some men have interpreted scripture wrong. I mean, guys, I had somebody, doesn't go to church here, but they wanted me to go pray for somebody because they said, well, in my church, this is what they said, in my church, women can't do that. The men are supposed to go pray. And I said, no, God's word, men and women can both pray. So go pray for him. Go pray for this person. She was actually praying for a girlfriend of hers. So go pray. She was wanting me to go pray because in her church she's taught that she can't do it. That is against scripture. This stuff's being still taught today, guys. That's against God's character and against his scripture. Okay, so ladies, you still love me, right? Okay, because there's a scripture and that says, I can prove with scripture that there will be no women in heaven. And all the ladies are like, what? Because the book of Revelation says that no sound was heard in heaven for 30 minutes. Okay. So don't throw no stones. I heard a pastor that shared that one. When I heard that one from a pastor, he said that he shared that at a church, and a little old lady came up to him after church, and she goes, guess what, preacher? There ain't going to be no preachers either. All right, here's number two. Number two is his wisdom, his people, and his counsel. His wisdom, his people, and his counsel. Because God's wisdom comes through people today, and the Bible teaches us to get godly counsel. So whatever, you know, you feel this prompting, whatever you're feeling from God, how you can get confirmation, and you need to get confirmation, is does godly counsel agree? Everybody said. And I'm not talking about goodly counsel. I'm talking about godly counsel. Because some people, I've had this happen. You know, people come to you and they want godly counsel because you're their pastor, or they see you as a pastor, and so they come to you for godly counsel, and you're just like, no, that, you know, and there's a gracious way of doing it. No, that doesn't agree with Scripture. I don't believe that you should do that. And then they get offended at you because you didn't agree with them. And then they go down the road and they go to another person, and somebody else tells them, no, I don't think that's, you know, that's not, that's, they're trying to get godly counsel, but they're not, it doesn't agree with them. Everybody follow me? And so they keep going to somebody until they get good counsel, and the good counsel is that it agrees with them. There's like, that's godly counsel. No, that's not always the case. Sometimes godly counsel will agree with you, and sometimes if it's not, then you need to take heed to it if they're not agreeing with you. And everybody said, okay, I'm going to give you some scriptures on this. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So we want to be wise and not stupid. Everybody said amen. All right, Proverbs 19, 20 through 21. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel is what, that's what's going to stand, is the Lord's counsel. And then the last scripture, this is all out of Proverbs. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says in the New King James Version, for by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So get godly counsel. If you feel that, you know, there's a step of faith coming, a move, direction, a career change, whatever it is that you're feeling, or what college to go to, what school to go to, looking at some young people around here, what, you know, these big major decisions, even minor decisions, get godly counsel. Your parents are great counsel. Listen to your parents. Samantha's back there going, nuh-uh, I ain't doing it. Listen to your parents. They have some life experiences that you really need to listen to. Teachers, coaches, you know, and yes, you need to make sure that they're a godly person and that they have a relationship with the Lord and all those things. But God has put authority figures in your life for a reason, and to listen to them. there's a story, and we're not going to turn there today, but I'm going to just paraphrase it and tell you what passage it's in so you can go read it for yourself. It's in 1 Kings chapter 12, and it's talking about King Rehoboam, who was a young man. His father had passed away, and so he is assuming the throne, and he comes on the scene, and he does a very wise thing, starting off with, this is the difference between godly counsel and goodly counsel. He does a very good thing. This is in 1 Kings chapter 12, and he consults his father's counselors. He thought, okay, these guys got a lot of experience. They were with my dad for years. Dad's kingdom is great and doing good, and he goes, I'm going to go, I need to talk with him. Very wise move on this young man's part. And so his father's counselors, and I'm paraphrasing this is what they basically told him. If you will serve the people, King Rehoboam, they will be your servants forever. Meaning, if you'll take care of the people that God's entrusted to you, they're going to serve the vision for you that you have for this kingdom, and everything's going to be blessed, and the kingdom is going to be at peace, and it'll be a great place if you'll follow in your father's footsteps and do that. But where King Rehoboam messed up, he didn't really like that counsel because he's all cocky and arrogant and prideful. He's a young man that's just taken over a big kingdom, and he's thinking, man, I'm going to get some stuff done around here. So he goes to his friends. And sometimes your friends aren't the best counselors to go to. Everybody said, amen. So he goes to his friends, and they basically told him, you know what? You need to rule with an iron fist, man. You've got a kingdom. You're the king, dude. You the king. And basically this is what they said to him. If you think, they told him, if you think my father's hand was heavy, my little finger is heavier than his. Okay, he should have listened to his father's counselors, but he listened to his friends. And he started serving the people like that. And if you'll go on and read that story, it split the kingdom from the northern kingdom to the southern kingdom. So stupid counsel split the kingdom. And stupid counsel can get you in a whole lot of messes. Been there, done that, and don't want to, I burned the t-shirt and the cap. I don't want to do it again. And here's another thing. If you're married in here, listen to your spouse. Sometimes God speaks through them. He really does. Sometimes they're the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit Junior in your life. You need to listen to him. All right, here's number three. His ways, his peace, and his calm. You've got to know God's ways, his peace, and calm. And his ways are peaceful. So you need to ask the question, when you're having these promptings, do you have peace? Now, you might be scared and fearful because it might be a step of faith, but even in the midst of that, God will give you this peace that passes all understanding. So do you have a peace about it? And this is Colossians 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And that word rule in that scripture, Colossians 3, verse 15, it also means, one translation says umpire. So let the peace of God umpire in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And when I hear that word umpire, I'm thinking about the game last night with, you know, OU and Alabama, and the refs and the umpires were not giving me peace at all. But here's the deal. The peace of God gives you, the umpire of God gives you your hearts, gives you that peace. Okay, and here's the last scripture on this one. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it surpasses reason and logic, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word guard means a garrison, means that God is going to encamp angels around your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus to give you that peace that passes all understanding. His angels and his Holy Spirit. So here's what I want you to take home today. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. What I want you to take home today is, as you spend time with God on a regular basis, you will learn to correctly hear his voice. It's okay to ask him to confirm his word. His word will line up with the whole Bible, and godly counsel will agree with God's word, and you will have peace. That's your take homes for today. I'm just sitting here, and I looked over here at Anita. There was a situation that she told me about here this past week, and she just told me, and she called it, this is another prompting. Sometimes God will prompt you with warnings, with red flags, with caution. Need to pay attention to it. Amen? And she told me, she said, I started getting these red flags. And sometimes people, I've heard of people, and I've done it myself, have just plowed right through a red flag, plowed right through that caution. And then I'm like, golly, if I had just paid attention to that and done it, then I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. And Anita was telling me about this red flag that she had. And I said, I was telling Anita, I said, Anita, I'm proud of you because you heard the voice of God and you obeyed it. You didn't go past it. I'm going to tell off on my dad up here. The story on my dad was, this happened, a year ago when he was doing some lumber, and it was a day like today. I mean, it was really cold, so he had gloves on, and he was sawing. The reason why I'm sharing this is because God wants to talk to you in even the smallest of things, which you think this is a small thing, but he's out there sawing. Jesus was a carpenter. Hello. He may not have power tools. He didn't. But my dad's out using a table saw, and he's got gloves on, and Dad told me this. He said, right before I saw that board, I just had this inner witness, this prompting, that gut feeling, that bolt from the blue, that I need to take my gloves off because they were a little bit big and they were going to get hung up in the blade. He's like, man, I was like, no, it's cold. I want to keep my hands warm. And he went, and it caught his glove and took his hand in that blade, and It was god awful. Chewed up he was lucky he still has his fingers, but chewed up his hand. And I get a call that my dad's at the emergency room in Elk City. And so I go down there, and Dad's sitting there, his hand's shaking, it's bleeding, and they're getting him all stitched up and all this stuff. And then Dad tells me this story. And then me being his pastor and his son, I get on to him, he's like, Dad, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. You just missed out. He's trying to protect you. But God is still good and healed Dad. And guys, even when we miss it, I've missed it before. You know, one of the things, I had a prompting of the Lord one time to minister to somebody, and this really, it still bothers me to this day. And this happened years ago, and it was at Walmart. And I hate Walmart. And my deal with Walmart is I want to get in and get out of there. And when I was in Walmart, I saw a person that needed ministry and wanted ministry. And I was like in a hurry, and it wasn't like I was kind of like Gideon's army. God, you know, God bless you. I'll pray for you from afar. And I left, and God really said, Mark, that was a prompting that you didn't obey, and I wanted you to minister to that person. And I was like, but God, I was in Walmart. Bring him to church. God was like, I want you to minister anywhere you go. So all of us are called to minister. So have your antennas up and tune in to what God wants you to do, and then do it. Amen? This help somebody? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. I'm going to pray over you and bless you today. This is my prayer over all of us and over myself, okay? Lord God, thank you for speaking to us during quiet times with you. And we hunger to hear your word and follow your direction. Please confirm your words spoken in our hearts, those promptings that we feel and that we sense, so that they will be established in our lives. And we praise you for your peace beyond our understanding. Father, we seek out mature believers with godly wisdom for further confirmation of your word to us. And Jesus, we are grateful for how you guard our hearts and our minds as we walk in your peace. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want everyone to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And I just want to make sure before we leave here today, because I never know who God brings in here and who's watching by church's aid and listening by radio, those that do not know Jesus, they haven't, I'm not talking about religion or being a part of a church anywhere. I'm talking about having a relationship with the Lord. And if that's you here today, I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer out of Romans chapter 10, where it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in this prayer today. And even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, Amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, your very next step of obedience is fall in the Lord in water baptism. If you've never done that, you need to do that, okay? And we can do that next Sunday. You just need to let me know about it. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Did everybody learn something? Okay, did everybody have a Merry Christmas? Is everybody going to have a Happy New Year? Okay, good. This year is going to be, this year, 2019, so you can start telling this and believing this and declaring this over your life and over your marriages and families and businesses. This is going to be the year of abundant harvest. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hug somebody's neck and say, I'm hearing God. Amen.